The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good in yourself. And, you know, as David Ben-Gurion said, in Israel, we have to be realists and believe in miracles.
Absolutely right. Never a more true word. All right. You know where we need a miracle, Rolien, is at the Western Wall, at the Kotel. What on earth? Every now and then, this just, I don't want to say blows, because that's like the wrong word in Israel, but it just gets ugly. What happened?
It is a very, very ugly story. Definitely not representing the best of Israel this week, and has sparked a lot of discussion and debate and dominated the headlines. So what we do know is that American families were visiting from the United States and holding the bar and bat mitzvah ceremonies of children. These were several families, and they were disrupted violently by a group of Haredim or ultra-Orthodox, who not only assaulted them by pushing them. One of the elderly gentlemen who walks with the use of a cane, his cane was thrown off to the side, and calling them the most outrageous names. This was at the egalitarian section of the Kotel, which is an area designated for Jews who prefer to have mixed prayer or hold events where both men and women can be present together. They were there peacefully and were appallingly interrupted by this group of Haredim.
What is the current law at the Kotel? Because there was this whole deal being done. I remember it was under Netanyahu's, during his era, it was done and then it was taken off the table, back on the table. What is the current situation at the Kotel?
Well, the current situation is that it hasn't really been instated and instituted. And there are calls from American organizations, from the more secularists here, and from people like Deborah Lipstadt. I mean, it's mortifying that on her first visit to Israel as the U.S. Special Envoy on Anti-Semitism, the eminent Deborah Lipstadt has to get involved in something like this. But there definitely is a call now to make this a priority agenda item. You know, we have to respect that Israel is a democratic Jewish country. We're not a theocracy. And we have to respect that people's way of praying, it might not be necessarily the way you or me or whoever's listening might choose to do it, but it's the way that many, many Jews choose to pray, to hold services, to hold events at the egalitarian section for more of what they see as a more inclusive way of doing it. And that has to be respected.
Where is the egalitarian section?
Well, if you are familiar, I'm trying to picture the Kotel in my head right now. You've got the men's section, you've got the women's section, and then tucked off kind of to the side is an area that has been designated an egalitarian a place for prayers. And, you know, whether or not you agree or disagree, what on earth gives anybody the right to disrupt people who are there praying peacefully, having a ceremony for a 13 and a 12-year-old, for goodness sake, the right to be violent against them, to tear pages out of their prayer books and blow their noses with them? I mean, it's just, and call them the most outrageously insulting and offensive names.
Well, it's always an interesting thing. I mean, a couple of years ago, I wrote an article for Times of Israel where I said we do so much more, we gain so much more by inviting people for a Shabbat dinner than we do by throwing stones at them for driving on Shabbat. And the South African way has always kind of been that we try and accept but encourage. I just don't understand. I mean, my view would be that if somebody goes to the egalitarian section, and they connect how they choose to connect. They then fulfilled and open, and you can have another conversation with them if that's important for you. But they've had their space and their time, and they're much more open than if you go and disrupt their service, ridicule them, abuse them. How much good do you think you're going to do? Do you think you're ever turning that person towards your way of thinking? I genuinely don't understand what we think the outcome will be by treating people this way. It's just absolutely unfathomable to me.
Well, you know, I'm going to throw in another argument here. We continuously have these discussions about, American Jewry, they're you know, losing their connection to Israel. The young people are losing their connection to Israel. Imagine being those 13 and 12-year-old children coming here for your bar or bat mitzvah, because maybe it has been your dream to have your bar or bat mitzvah at the Kotel, at our holiest site, and then be treated like that. And just as another addition, throughout our history as Jews, have we been separated into certain groups by our persecutors? Those are more deserving or less deserving of persecution?
Absolutely bizarre. But in fact, there was a support for those that were conducting that service by Rabbi Shmuel Rabinovich, and he in fact denounced the violence and called for people to respect the Kotel. What was the reaction to that?
Well, first of all, Rabbi Shmuel Rabinovich is the chief rabbi of the Kotel, or the rabbi of the Western Wall. And exactly that is, you know, to respect the sanctity of the Western Wall. It is not Kiddush Hashem to hurl out disgusting insults and to physically abuse a group of people. And he said, the verbal and occasional physical violence that erupts amongst those coming to pray at the Western Wall, stemming from various extremist groups, desecrates Hashem's name, creates chasms between people, and harms the holiness of the site that unites the Jewish nation and world Jewry. I call upon all sides to remove disputes and demonstrations from the sacred site and preserve the Western Wall, the Kotel, as a holy and unifying site in the spirit of Jewish heritage and tradition. And there are calls coming from Israel to arrest those that did this and bring them to trial, because this will no longer stand.
It's absolutely incredible. My view is you shut the Kotel down. I don't think we deserve it. When we deserve it again, and when we can behave, then we should be allowed back to one of our holiest places on earth. 34519 or 061-895-1019. What is your reaction to it? The flip side of it, of course, is that many people and most Orthodox observant Jews do not believe in egalitarian minyanim. Is it disrespectful in of itself? What is your view? 34519 or 061-895-1019, and how should this be handled? Other stories that, Rolene, that I wanted to discuss with you this week is, of course, the Abu Akleh result. What's the latest there?
Well, this, of course, just the results resulted in more controversy. So, over the weekend, the Palestinian authorities finally handed the alleged bullet over to American authorities, who conducted a forensic and ballistic investigation at the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Now, according to American authorities, they were the only ones to handle this bullet. And it has raised quite a lot of issues, because the final result of the investigation was that it's inconclusive to determine which side fired the fatal shot that killed journalist Abu Akleh. Now, I just want to reiterate, 60 Palestinian journalists have been tortured and killed since, I think it's 2006. And we don't know any of their names. 30 journalists have been killed in Ukraine just over the past couple of months, and we don't know any of their names. And as a journalist, the last thing we want is to see our colleagues murdered in the line of fire, which inevitably is never really intentional. It's an unfortunate risk that journalists take. However, everybody around the world knows the name Shireen Abu Akleh. She even managed to convene a meeting of the UN Security Council. Still waiting for that one on Daniel Pearl, Howard. Anywho, but what the State Department said in their statement was that the results are inconclusive. However, it is likely that the shot was fired, albeit through tragic circumstances and a mistake from the side of the IDF. Now, my opinion on that is they said that to placate the Palestinians. However, it has made the Israeli authorities and especially the IDF extremely irate, because the only thing we know from these tests is that we don't know anything. And to make a statement like that is extremely irresponsible. And of course, media outlets ran with that line and not the fact that it's inconclusive. What is interesting is that many people have been raising the issue of what do we know about the chain of command of this bullet, which is also interesting. And I was reminded of when I heard the result of the initial claims by the Palestinian coroner who conducted the autopsy, who said, "I cannot conclude, it's inconclusive." However, the big lesson in all of this is that once again, Israel's detractors have managed to run off with the narrative, and therein lies the danger. But the latest that we've had from the U.S. Department of State is they say the Biden administration wants accountability, and that the IDF, I mean, this line to me is absolutely laughable. The IDF have the processes in place where they must protect non-combatants. Now, if you recall, following conflagrations like the one we had last year between Israel and Hamas, as well as others over the years, we have heard from military officials from a variety of countries, including the United States, the United Kingdom, Italy, France, various others, who say that no army does what the IDF does to protect non-combatants. In fact, the IDF have raised the standards that all armies should adhere to when it comes to the rules of engagement. So I wonder, with President Biden popping over for a visit this coming week, what will be said about these statements behind closed doors.
It's pretty sad if this is going to be some of the focus on the trip, because surely there's so many more things that need to be discussed.
Well, what we do know is that it's highly likely Iran's going to come up as a major topic of discussion. I think this issue is going to come up for discussion as well. We know the president, this is his first visit in his office as president. He will be visiting Yad Vashem. He will be visiting Bethlehem. He will meet with Abbas. He will be conferred a Medal of Valor from our president for his career history in being a friend of Israel. And then he will go on to Saudi Arabia. Now, what is interesting is that stories broke in the Hebrew media yesterday that Saudi officials are mulling whether or not to invite an Israeli official either during this visit by Biden or after, depending on the success of the summit between Biden and the Saudis. Now, I know what you're all thinking, and you know we can't say it on polite radio. You know, Mr. President, don't fill in the blank over there. But it really is seen as a sign of possible warming of, well, you can't really say tensions. We don't really have tensions with the Saudis, but a possible, you know, baby steps towards some kind of normalization.
So this is being hotly anticipated, and there's also, I saw an article about flights directly to Mecca from Israel. There's no doubt that this is something that's going to be that's on the table.
Well, this is what we're all saying. It's not a matter of if, but rather when, and just how far will it go. Also very interesting, picked up by the Arab Times, is a story, an article written by Saudis who've expressed their dissatisfaction with the Palestinians, and saying, you know, really, it's time now. It's time to join the fight against anti-Semitism. It's time to start to recognize Israel. It's time to reach out to the Israelis. Now, also earlier this week, an Israeli journalist visited Saudi Arabia, and he says, you know, it was very mixed reactions. Some Saudis weren't interested in talking to him at all, and some were very curious. And this, to me, is a very important sign. The minute you've got some kind of exchanges happening in the media, that's the testing of temperatures. We've had Saudi is writing in our media, in the Arab media. We now have an Israeli journalist dipping his toe in there because, you know, while there might be conversations happening at a government level, it's on the ground where it really counts. And we've seen the extraordinary success between Bahrainis, Emiratis, Moroccans and Israelis. And we're hoping to see that with Saudis as well.
Well, let's hope. And certainly this is something that we will be watching very, very closely. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend. And we'll catch you next week.